Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Well, there's a lot to get to when it comes to WWE coming off of Raw on Monday night, which was a wild and crazy show. And for everybody that was worried about where WrestleMania was going to go, well, we've got some answers now, at least to the top of the card. I always enjoy talking to new people here on the podcast. So I've got somebody else new to the podcast. He's not new to a lot of people, especially people that cover the UFC or MMA. It's Damon Martin from FoxSports.com. And everybody can follow his work over there. It's fantastic. But lately, Damon has been expanding his repertoire in that he is covering some wrestling over at Fox as well. And he's a longtime wrestling fan. So I figured let's get Damon on the podcast. So thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me, man. It's my honor.
Well, let's get into Raw because I think everybody was thinking, you know, going into Raw, like, oh, this WrestleMania lineup, especially coming off of Fastlane on Sunday night, people were freaking out. I mean, just social media was an outrage on Sunday night that Roman Reigns actually won that match like we expected, and he's going to be headlining WrestleMania going up against Triple H. People are freaking out, wondering what WWE is going to do to get some excitement into that show. And out of nowhere, they pulled out Shane McMahon, which nobody saw coming. It was pretty wild.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, it's funny because I usually watch Raw on a bit of a time delay so I can fast forward through some of the commercials because, you know, it's a 3-hour show and obviously a lot of stuff's going on. So I usually try to catch it a little bit of a time delay so I can quick through. And I was on Twitter and I actually was finishing up a story for Fox and I saw somebody said Shane O'Mac and I was like, what? And so like immediately I jumped up and like turned on the TV and there was Shane McMahon. I was just like, what? Like it literally just threw me back because, you know, I had heard all the inside stories about, you know, why he left and the falling out he had and, you know, everything like that. So for him to come back, I was completely blown away. It was not only shocking, but completely unexpected. And of all the, you know, different things they could pull off for a WrestleMania moment, you know, I'd heard all these rumors about all these different guys that were coming back or guys that could potentially be in the main event or should I say co-main event or however you want to sell it. Shane O'Mac was nowhere on that list. And I don't think he was on too many lists for anybody.
No, he wasn't. And there was some talk that WWE had an idea who was going to be facing Undertaker at that show, but it was going to be somebody from outside the company. So, you know, we're reading the tea leaves and we're thinking, okay, does that mean somebody from NXT? Does that count? Or is it somebody else that used to work for WWE? I was still kind of the belief, like, I don't know about that. John Cena is working his ass off and he keeps putting on Twitter that, you know, he's really testing the limits coming off of his shoulder surgery. So I was of the belief of it's going to be Cena. He's going to find a way with his super recovery powers and he's going to be able to make this show. But Shane McMahon was just like one of the things that I never even entered into my mind going into this. And now there's a lot of excitement. It's funny because in the past, there were some people that griped about Shane McMahon because he's not a traditional trained wrestler. And he would have, you know, these back and forth matches with guys, you know, during the Attitude Era and past that. But now it seemed like, you know, Shane McMahon's everybody's hero because he came back to the company on Monday.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I remember, like I said, I mean, I was watching Raw with my girlfriend and I've kind of gotten her into wrestling a little bit lately. And she was asking me, you know, she wasn't around during the Shane McMahon days. And so she's like, what's the deal with him? Like, you know, he's Vince's son and Stephanie's brother. I said, yeah. But I said, man, he was so much fun to watch back in the day. He had some crazy matches. And she's like, oh, is he really good? And I was like, not so much that he was good. He was just a great entertainer. Like he was willing to put his body through hell to put on a fun fight. I mean, you know, his matches with Kurt Angle and, you know, some of the other crazy stuff so I guess the best way I explained it to her is like, he was an amazing entertainer. He wasn't the best athlete by any means, obviously. And he certainly wasn't the best wrestler, but he was willing to go out there and put his body on the line and really have fun with the matches he had. And he was a great personality. You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, given the current climate of WWE with the attitude, you know, kind of towards Stephanie and, And obviously with Vince and some of the decisions that have been made recently in regards to people who are main eventing and some of the outcomes, I don't know. It's not to say that the fans are turning against him by any means, but it feels like, you know, Shane McMahon was kind of a breath of fresh air, kind of a, you know, a return to one of the, I would say, one of the most favorite times of WWE history when he was around. And obviously some of the bigger, you know, moments he had, you know, with some of his matches, it just felt, you know, it just felt big. And also, again, you know, considering the real life drama that seemingly took place within that family, I don't think anyone would have predicted he would have come back even if he was asked to come back. So the fact that they made this happen and the fact that he was there, I think everyone just, you know, their eyes were open, mouths were gaped open. It was a crazy night.
Yeah, and that's the great thing is that, you know people love surprises, and I do too. I want surprises for the right reason, not just to give me a surprise like what they did on Monday. But also, you know, when it comes to Shane, you know, like you said, he left the company in six years ago because he knew he was not going to be the guy running it. You know, it was going to be handed down to Stephanie and Triple H. They were going to be the power brokers and all this next to Vince. And then whenever he steps down for the company, and he has said, fine, then, you know what? I'm not getting along with everybody. If I'm not going to be the chosen one like I thought I was, I'm going to step away. I'm going to do my own projects, my own business, make my own money. I wasn't sure if he was ever going to come back, or if he was, it was going to be years down the line, or maybe something, you know, catastrophic was going to have to happen. But there he is walking back. And I think what makes that storyline so great was not only was it a surprise that nobody saw coming, but just the realism that comes into it with that backstory and the way they alluded to it, you know, on Raw, where he's talking about the power structure. And then he says, oh, you know, this company is in trouble. The stock prices are low and the ratings are down and the rash of injuries under your watch. So, I mean, you put that all together and that one made for fantastic television.
Oh yeah, it really did. You know, a lot of times the best storylines in wrestling are things that are spawned out of reality. You know, those are kind of the things that, you know, it's, you know, you can't ignore, especially in the day and age where we're at now with Twitter and Facebook and everything else where so much news gets out there. It was kind of like, you know, even though it was not handled well, I think it could have been handled a lot better, but, you know, it was like TMZ releasing pictures of Rusev and Lana together. You can't ignore it. We know that's real life, you know, and so even with that and the things like they've done with Total Divas where they've kind of played it back into the story a little bit, you know, here and there, I think, you know, real life plays into the show, and if it's done the right way, now granted they've done some, you know, rather dumb ones too in the past, but the fact that they kind of played it back into reality, because there's so many stories out there about the falling out that Shane had with the company, why he left, why he went off to do his own thing, why he was probably never coming back. So, you know, to have him come back with anything less than at least some sense of reality of why he's back and also, you know, what's really going on at WWE would just be, you know, disingenuous to the fans. You know, fans see through kind of stuff like that. We know it's a show and we know it's not all real life, but when you inject at least a small part of that, and again, understanding that obviously everything they said was planned, then yeah, it's fun. It plays out, you know, as great drama on television. And that's ultimately what, you know, Raw and what WWE is all about.
Well, the curious thing that I'm going to find out now, well, there's a couple of things. But first and foremost, there's still a lot of people, I think, that don't believe he is actually going to wrestle. Because now he's slated to face Undertaker, WrestleMania 32, and it's a Hell in a Cell. So he's 46 years old. He hasn't wrestled in I don't know how many years. He hasn't been with the company since 2010. I'm of the belief that he's actually going to have the match. Some people think that maybe he will find a proxy, and maybe that would be John Cena or somebody else. Do you think he's actually going to have the match?
I think he's going to actually have the match, but I also think there's going to be something else that happens. I mean, this is too big of a moment for Shane to just go in there and wrestle The Undertaker, because that was the big question going into this. I was just asked this question the other day, who is The Undertaker going to wrestle? And I was... you know, playing theories with everybody else. You know, I had no real clue. It was kind of a crapshoot with all the injuries and everything that's taken place. So I think he will wrestle, but does that mean that somebody else won't get involved to maybe help him out, or, you know, to maybe swing the momentum? I mean, it's a weird situation because the stipulation is if he wins, he gets control of Raw. Well, I don't think there's anybody watching or listening to us talking right now that doesn't think the Monday after Raw that he's not going to be in control. That storyline is just too brilliant for it not to play out that way. but how does he beat The Undertaker? You know what I mean? Like, how do you, you know, and all the other things we can say about The Undertaker, you know, he just went through a war with Brock Lesnar and now he's going to lose to Shane McMahon. So to me, there's got to be some other story that's going to play into that, that is really going to become a part of WrestleMania. And that's what WrestleMania is all about. The surprises, the things you don't see coming, the matches that are supposed to be terrible and they end up being fun, the, you know, the Sting Triple H moments, those kind of things. So we're going to see something fun come out of that. I think that's going to be, when it's all said and done, the WrestleMania moment we remember.
Yeah, and the dynamic of the whole thing too, because going into this just on face value right now, Taker is a heel, you would think, because he's going to be the guy that's going to be performing for Vince McMahon. Now, mind you, that might change going down the line. It could be something of Taker doesn't want to do it, or, you know, there's got to be something more to it. You know, there's got to be some other twists and turns along the way, like you said. And I think one of the things that could happen is people are going to be like, well, like you said, how is Shane McMahon going to beat The Undertaker? And I think he's going to, but something is going to happen in that match. Maybe even it's something where Taker says, you know what, fine, I'll do it, but then has a change of mind in the middle of the match, and somehow Shane ends up beating him. I'm not saying that Taker just does a lay down job like the finger point of doom from WCW, but, you know, there could be something along the lines where Vince does something and it backfires, or he has a change of mind somehow. And next thing you know, Shane wins and, you know, Shane's in charge of Raw. And hell, who knows? Maybe we're getting another brand split. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I mean, I just have a hard time believing that if they convince Shane to come back, or maybe, you know, like I said, we don't know all the behind-the-scenes stuff. I mean, you know, obviously, we all, you know, we all know the fallout that happened, but who knows? Maybe Shane reconciled with his family, you know, 6 months ago, and, you know, they pitched him this idea, and he was ready to come back. I'm not sure. Yeah. You know what I mean? So there's all kinds of different dynamics to this, but it was just, it felt fun, and it felt like there was, you know, there was a lot building to this, and again, they needed another marquee match. Now, again, you know, no one would have expected, you know, 46-year-old Shane McMahon to be the marquee match against The Undertaker as probably the most talked about match going into WrestleMania. But again, who would have predicted it? And considering all the injuries and all the other things that are going on right now, who's really going to complain about it either?
No, and that's the thing. You know, we could sit here and say, God, they're probably not even going to have a great match. I don't know. Maybe they will. I'm not saying that myself, but there's some people probably thinking that. But just the whole element of surprise, as we sit here right now, 6 weeks away from Mania, that might change once we get closer to the show. But just to have a big surprise like this, and to see Shane back after we haven't seen him there in so long. And it's funny because on TV, I think a lot of people love him. He's a dynamic character and everything that he did, you know, and all the different matches and the crazy stunts that he did. I think a lot of people behind the scenes of the company love the guy. But then there's other people that say Shane is a fantastic person. But the ideas that he had for some of the things with the company, especially with storylines, were horrible. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, we'll see if he's back with the company. I think that's one of the interesting things is he actually back with the company, or is he just back for the storyline? And also, you could read into this, too, in that, so you do that opening storyline on Raw where you've got Vince there and you've got Stephanie there, and she even talks about how she's running the company with Triple H, and Shane even talks about that, too. But Triple H was nowhere near that segment.
Yeah, it was funny. It's like they just kind of wanted to exclude him from that. We'll mention him by name, but that's about it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays. I just have a hard time believing that if Shane is back, even for this match, that he's not involved in the company in some way. Now, you know, maybe that is a, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe, I mean, listen, I'm not, you know, trying to dog Shane McMahon. I don't know the guy. Everything, I will say this, everything I've ever talked to, because he also got around mixed martial arts for a little while, where there was rumors about, you know, him getting involved in that business, that everybody I've ever talked to said that Shane is a super good guy, nice guy, everyone gets along with him, you know, that kind of thing. But that being said, you know, maybe, you know, upon his exit of WWE and, you know, obviously doing his own businesses and the other things he's doing, maybe he, you know, maybe he just kind of came to the realization that he missed it, or that he, you know, he was willing to kind of humble himself and go back and, you know, share the company. I don't know. I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but I just have a hard time believing that he would come back even for this one night or this one show or this one stint without having some other, you know, investment in being a part of the company, even if it's not, you know, in a creative role, even if it's just, you know, behind the scenes. I just, they're just, again, it kind of felt like coming full circle for the falling out that happened, whatever it was, 6 or 7 years ago. You know, I just don't feel like they could sell Shane on coming back for a match if he wasn't going to get back involved with the company.
All I know is if Shane is back, the Mean Street Posse better be back as well.
I would love to see that. I tell you what, that's what I said. That was what Shane was about. He was about fun stuff. He had some great fun matches. And again, it was the best way I could describe him. He's not a great wrestler, but he sure is a fun guy to watch perform. And you know what? There's a lot of great wrestlers out there. I'm not going to name names, who are phenomenal in the ring, but they can't tell a story and they definitely don't have the mic skills and all the different things that we know creates, you know, a superstar in the WWE. And, Shane, like I said, Shane was never the best, but he sure was fun to watch.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So in the main event, they actually have Roman Reigns with a chorus of boos. So he's being booed all night long, even in backstage, vignettes that they're doing. And, you know, he comes off of Fastlane. He wins that triple threat. So now he's getting the title shot at Mania. He's getting booed out of the building on Raw. He's in the main event. He's facing Sheamus. And just in the middle of it, Triple H comes down, jeans, T-shirt. He's got his, hands taped and he's got his jacket on. So he takes the jacket off and he comes down and he's ready to fight. So they're fighting around ringside. Finally, Triple H gets, the upper hand, slams him face first into the announcer's table, like about 15 times in a row, maybe even more. And then gives him a pedigree on the steps and Roman is all bloodied up and the crowd is just eating into it. And, as Hunter is slamming him into the announcer's table, people are saying, yes, yes, yes. And he pedigree him and they're like one more time. And Triple H is playing it all up and he even gives him a DX crotch chop. So now you go into this and you're sitting there going, okay, who the hell is the babyface and who is the heel between these two guys, especially now that, they're having this match at WrestleMania coming up. And for so long, WWE has done everything they seemingly can to get fans behind Roman Reigns, and it just isn't working.
Yeah, it hasn't worked. It's never working, and I don't know that it ever will work. Because, listen, Roman, he just, like I said, you can't, the problem with this whole concept of Roman Reigns is, fans have never been force-fed talent. You can't force-feed somebody to the fans and expect them to just, glom onto it and become, rabid supporters. It's just never worked that way. The time when Roman Reigns was over the best was when he was part of the Shield, when he actually had, when he actually had Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose by his side, when he actually went on his own. Ever since then, he just hasn't gotten over. And everyone keeps saying he's the next big thing. He's the next big thing. But just telling us that doesn't necessarily make people believe it. His performances in the ring are okay. I'm not going to sit here and say he's the best. His mic performances, I think I'd rather listen to silence, than hear him talk. And people pick up on it. And guess what? It's just like anything else. If one guy hates him, then he tells his friend why he hates Roman Reigns. And then that person tells the next person. The next person tells the next person. And so it continues to play on down the line. And, that's how it is. You know what I mean? Like, you just can't tell people, hey, here's the guy you got to like. Now root for him. Doesn't work that way. And Triple H, when he comes out of the suit and he puts on his old gear and, I was waiting for the sledgehammer to come out last night. I'm telling you, I was waiting for that. But him going out there and doing what he did and pedigreeing, Roman on the stage, it just felt like the old school Triple H, even though he's not that guy anymore. And he's, the suit and tie executive, whatever. It felt old school. It felt, again, kind of like Shane McMahon coming back. So people got behind that. And it was kind of like the perfect storm. People aren't on board with Roman Reigns and people like the old school Triple H. And it was kind of, it was kind of a good moment for him, not so much for Roman Reigns, but it was a good moment. I enjoyed it.
There haven't been a lot of good moments for Roman Reigns, it seems like, when it comes to the fans. And the funny thing is, I think that Roman is really good. I think he's gotten a lot better in the ring. His promos, obviously, that's a sore spot and it needs to get better. I mean, I've been around the guy a little bit and he's very charismatic. I think the writers don't know how to write for him. I think that he doesn't challenge them when it comes to what they give him for material, and he tries to do it. And he's just one of these guys that when it comes to memorizing a script and putting his own flavor onto it, he just can't do it. His personality doesn't shine, and it hurts. And then the other thing is, too, like you said, he's just getting thrown down everybody's throats so much, and now it's the cool thing to not root for Roman Reigns. And it's a different situation from like what we've gotten with Cena. And, now I'm almost wondering if WWE just says, hell with it. Whatever the reaction is going to be, that's what the reaction is going to be. I mean, if they were trying to get some sympathy on him on Raw, that obviously backfired. But I don't necessarily think they were trying to do that. I think they just said, we're going to go out there, we're going to beat the holy hell out of this guy. Maybe it's going to light a fire under him and we'll do something with his personality. But they're probably like, whatever the crowd is going to react, that's how they're going to react and screw it. And who knows, man? I almost get the feeling now that while Reigns is probably going to win at Mania, I think it's a little bit more up in the air than before. I mean, I don't necessarily feel that's a slam dunk now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the one thing that WWE had, you know, I think learned from Royal Rumble a couple of years ago, or maybe it was last year, when Roman Reigns won the Rumble and it was so obvious that he was going to win the Rumble and everyone revolted against that and everyone hated that, was that, you know, unpredictability, you know, is the key to a great match like that. And, you know, it was just like last year with Roman, you know, getting the hell beat out of him by Brock Lesnar, and then out of nowhere, Seth Rollins comes down and steals it. Now, you know, last year's WrestleMania ended up being one of the best ever because we were so surprised, because we did have kind of a thrill ride and it was not, you know, what we expected. And so, you know, on paper, everyone expects Roman Reigns to go to the main event and win. You know, that's the thing. They're going to put the title back on him and no one's really going to like it. Now, maybe, you know, that's, I mean, the entire point of Roman Reigns, in my opinion, has kind of been Vince and the other people at WWE kind of thumbing their nose at what the fans want. They're like, you're going to like this guy eventually. You're going to root for him eventually. You know, it's kind of what I feel whenever I see Roman Reigns. And, you know, maybe that's their, maybe they're going, they're doubling down. They're putting the whole house, they're going all in on Roman Reigns, and they're going to, you know, have him win the title, whether you like it or not. But just given the atmosphere and the way that they've kind of learned their lessons and how, you know, fun last year's WrestleMania was, I just have a hard time believing he's going to walk out with that title. I just, you know, from what seemed like a, you know, him getting the match seemed like a certainty, him winning the match doesn't seem nearly as much as a certainty now.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, and especially when you've got the whole Shane McMahon element now, and maybe he's the guy that we expect is going to be in charge of Raw coming after that. It would seem kind of weird if, so he's in charge of Raw, but now we've got a babyface champion as well. So the deck is stacked against the heels. So maybe you have this dynamic where Shane's in charge of Raw, but Triple H is still the champion. Maybe Roman ends up turning heel. I think there's a lot of things at play here, which is super cool. And there's a good dynamic that you could do, because, you know, if you put the title on Roman again, you better make sure you're getting the reaction you want, or else that's really going to, you know, bomb out again. So even though he's chasing it still, maybe it's still not the right time and they got to hold off again. And who knows? Maybe they'll finally pull the trigger and just say, you know what? The crowd just hates you. So we've got to go with that and let them hate you some more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, that's the nature of the beast. You know, you got to go with what the fans want or what the fans like. You know, I mean, listen, you know, John Cena has kind of embraced it. You know, he's still the biggest, you know, superstar on the roster, but, you know, he's kind of embraced the whole, you know, let's go Cena sucks chance. It was kind of like part of his persona now that he realized that not everyone likes him and everyone roots for him. Now, Roman Reigns, the problem is Roman Reigns isn't, you know, a tenth of what John Cena brings in the total package, because he just isn't over. That's the biggest problem with Roman Reigns, I think, isn't that people don't like him. It's just he's not over. People aren't ultra excited when Roman's involved in matches. You know, whether you know, John Cena always invoked an emotion. Whenever he comes out there, if you're like, oh my God, not this guy again, or you're like, yes, you know, John Cena's the best, I love rooting for this guy, he always invoked a reaction. The difference with Roman Reigns is it just kind of feels like he doesn't really invoke much of anything, and because he keeps getting shoved down our throats, people are reacting with, you know, kind of a venomous tone, because they're kind of sick of it. You know, it's I think that's kind of what it is, because I don't think he invoked any kind of emotional response in people, but then continuously telling us that he's the next big thing and he's a champion. And I mean, even, you know, everything they've tried with Roman since the Shield has kind of failed. I mean, they try to put him up against Bray Wyatt and thinking, you know, maybe that's the heel he can go up against where people will root for him. Nope, didn't work. Okay, let's put him against the Authority. I mean, that's the ultimate bad guy for us. Make him the ire of the Authority. And guess what? The Authority thing didn't work. So they're running out of ideas. They're either going to have to turn Roman heel, which is something I think they should have done long ago, or they're just going to have to give up on the fact that people are just never going to be into this guy.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, because I thought they should have done that a while back. I think they, you know, even just a few months ago when he won the title and they took it off him again, I was like, maybe you should just keep it on him, let him run with it to Mania, let him face Lesnar. But they decided not to do that. They keep rolling the dice on it. And, You know, they've tried and tried and tried. I thought they were almost turning a corner when it came to Royal Rumble. And then they got the Rumble this year, and the crowd just hated his guts to no end. And it's funny because he gets a reaction, but it's all the kind of reaction you don't want. At least with Cena, it's mixed. But with Reigns, it's like 90-10. And it's all like bad reaction of people booing him, you know. So we'll see where they go with it next. But it's funny. I mean, I can't remember the last time they tried this hard with a guy. Because, I mean, this has been going on for, you know, a year and a half now. And, you know, every time it feels like they're about to turn a corner, they get close. They go, well, I think we've got him. I think we got the crowd where we want him. Then it just one little thing for whatever reason. And it's like, nope, don't have him, you know. And it becomes even more vocal than ever before. I think they're more vocal now. Well, especially coming off Fastlane, but even at the Royal Rumble, I was surprised at the venom that people had for Reigns.
Yeah, they just, like I said, you can't force feed anybody to the fans. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to pick up on who they want to pick up on. And, you know, whether that's good or bad, you know, like I said, the last thing you want to do as a wrestler is step out there and hear crickets. And Roman, you know, isn't hearing crickets. He's hearing boos. He's hearing people not like him. But I don't think people are booing him because, you know, they want him to be a bad guy or they just dislike his character. They're not into him. They're not into him being constantly pushed as the champion contender, as the big thing, as the guy we're supposed to root for. I mean, that was kind of like the way that the fans turned around on Brock Lesnar. I mean, Brock, when he came back, they painted him as a bad guy. You know, they painted him as this, you know, this guy who came back from the UFC and he's just this, you know, thug wrestler who's going to come in and just beat up people. But people loved the gimmick so much and they loved Paul Heyman so much that they really had no choice but to kind of, you know, run with it, to kind of make him the good guy, even though he's still acting the same way and still being the same character. But that they just kind of had to go with it because, you know, people were going to root for Brock. I mean, that's just, you know, and when he did what he did to Roman last year and the whole creation of Suplex City and like all those different things, no matter how much you try to paint a guy as a villain, if the fans love him, it's just that's the way it's going to go. And so it's a different age of wrestling now versus 20 years ago when you could tell people, this guy's a good guy, this guy's a bad guy, let's go with it. Now it's a, you know, much blurrier line, much more gray area. But unfortunately, Roman seems to fall in the vanilla area where no one really cares about him, but because you keep telling us we should care about him, we're going to turn against him.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's just crazy the way that they tried to deal with him. I mentioned Brock Lesnar, so now Lesnar's going to be taking on Ambrose, and it's weird that, you know, they do the match on Sunday night, and Ambrose got no offense in on him, and then, of course, he gets beat to holy hell even before Raw. They do an angle where he gets jumped in the parking lot, and so now Lesnar, I guess, is a heel. They're going to do a no-holds-barred street fight, and, you know, this is going to be pull out all the weapons, pull out all the stops, and let these guys go at it. I had no idea, I mean, even a couple of months ago, that Ambrose was really in the picture here, because every time I kind of thought about the who Lesnar was going to face, if it wasn't going to be Reigns, then I thought, well, now it feels like it's going to be Bray Wyatt, or maybe it's going to be Kevin Owens. And I don't have a problem with it being Ambrose. It's just I was really surprised by that.
Yeah, you know, I kind of, in a little bit of a way, I saw it coming because of the weird buildup that they had on Raw the last couple of weeks going into Fastlane. That they kind of took the focus off of Brock, Roman, and Ambrose and kind of put it back on the individual matchups of Ambrose and Reigns and Ambrose and Lesnar and kind of saw what stuck with people. And, you know, I think that was really it. I mean, Ambrose isn't the champion anymore, Intercontinental champion anymore, so, you know, they can let him go out there. I mean, it feels like Ambrose, you know, it's so funny. Ambrose, to me, is the guy who gets over way more than Roman Reigns. Yet he's kind of been the second tiered guy versus the main event guy in Roman Reigns. But, you know, it kind of feels like this is going to be one of those moments, you know, similar to, if you remember, you know, Bret Hart, Steve Austin, where Bret, you know, had him tapping out and he's bleeding and, you know, he didn't want to tap out, you know, and you kind of turn the corner on Steve Austin after that. You see the toughness and the grit in this guy and you kind of find a way to root for him after that. That's kind of what it feels like with this, where it's going to be Dean Ambrose getting the living hell beat out of him for 15 minutes. You know, he'll have a couple moments and then maybe in the end he just can't go. You know, he's knocked unconscious. He's done. He's, you know, he's been launched every which way across the arena, across the stadium. and you know, and it's all over. And maybe that's how, you know, people just kind of come to root for him, is because of that, you know, because he shows so much toughness and so much grit, and then they move him onto his own storyline. That's really the only way I see this playing out, because I really don't see Brock losing unless they have some other angle that they're going to bring somebody else in to have him go against Brock. But I think this is going to be one of those classic Brock beats the hell out of him, and you kind of find a way to root for the guy because of it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it was funny because the first time that Lesnar came back to WWE, he had a match with Cena, and Lesnar just beat the holy hell out of him, and Cena got some offense at the end, and then he won. I almost wonder if this is going to be one of those where he takes a ton of payment of punishment, like you said, you know, when it comes to Ambrose. But, you know, it looks like Lesnar is going to win, but maybe Ambrose wins. Maybe it's one of those things where he's kind of out of nowhere, he gets a pin. It's not like one of these definitive things where Lesnar is laying around. But, you know, he takes all this punishment and he comes away with the victory. I don't know. I mean, I think part of it depends on what they have next for Lesnar. You know, is he going to be around for another month following Mania, which he typically is? And if they go by the regular schedule, so he'd be around for a month and then he would be off TV until SummerSlam. I mean, if you do that, maybe that helps make Ambrose. I don't know how important the victory is. I mean, I'm one of these guys. I'm a real big believer in, you know, wins and losses actually do matter. But there are times when it's not the end all be all. And I think this would be one of those times where if Ambrose just, you know, keeps fighting and keeps fighting and keeps fighting and won't stay down, that even if he ends up, you know, losing, you know, this fight, that he actually comes out for the better of it, you know, in the end.
Yeah. And like I said, that's, you know, again, that's somehow these storylines kind of play out that way. You can play it out in a way that even win, lose, or draw, a guy comes out on the other side and he becomes a bit of a fan favorite, or, you know, at least becomes a person you can root for, get behind. And that's ultimately what it's all about. You know, I think they tried to do that a little bit last year with Lesnar and Roman Reigns, where they, you know, had Lesnar beat the living hell out of him. And, you know, you try to show the toughness, but, you know, it's kind of the same thing. Poor Roman Reigns, man, no matter what that guy does, getting the hell beat out of him or winning matches, no one seems to be really that affected by whatever he does. But yeah, I think they kind of tried that approach with him last year. It just didn't work.
Yeah. You know, I'm wondering where the rest of this card is going to go now for Mania. I'm a little bit surprised from one thing that they did on Raw too, is that I thought they were going to break off AJ and Jericho to where we were going to see AJ Styles take on Kevin Owens next. And, you know, even Owens, having some fun on Twitter like he does, kind of alluded to that a little bit, but I think he was just playing around with everybody. But I thought that made sense. I didn't know where they were going to go with Jericho then, but now it looks like they're going to pair them up, and I think they're going to stay together as a team through Mania. And I'm wondering if part of that might just because they don't know what else to do with Jericho right now. So they said, let's just team them up, and then we can split them up after Mania. We'll figure it out, and then Owens can have a different feud. I think maybe he will, you know, take on Sami Zayn. They call him up right now. So that's kind of a weird thing that I thought, that what they were doing with Styles and Jericho, and now they looks like they're going to keep them together.
Yeah, it was odd because they obviously had a few weeks of, you know, some pretty solid matches, and then out of nowhere, you know, they kind of team up last night. They kind of come to an agreement and they decide that, you know, now they're going to be friendly. And yeah, I thought it was maybe building towards, you know, AJ Styles and Kevin Owens as well. They had a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a Twitter reaction back and forth, and, you know, kind of seemed like that was a matchup that they were building towards, you know, kind of, you know, the two indie guys, you know, making good in the WWE. And obviously AJ has been, you know, very, very over with the fans right now. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously they put Kevin Owens with Dolph Ziggler, who is still one of the most criminally underused guys in the business, man. That's one guy I kind of feel bad for, because there's so much talent in that dude. But I don't know. Ever since they turned him into a baby face, he just, I don't know. He has no direction of which he's going, but that's another story. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Maybe they do a triple threat match. I mean, maybe it's, you know, Jericho versus AJ versus Kevin. I mean, you know, obviously we had that big Intercontinental match last year, which was amazing with, you know, Daniel Bryan and all those guys in there. And that was, you know, one of the craziest, most fun matches of all time. Maybe they do something similar to that, where they just kind of chuck everybody into one match with, you know, AJ and Jericho and Dolph and, you know, all these guys, and make it, you know, make it a great fight. I mean, you know, Kevin Owens has a way of making pretty much every every fight he's in a fun one, a fun match. So, you know, I don't think there's really a wrong direction to go with him. But I don't really like the Jericho Styles dynamic as a tag team necessarily, because, you know, I think, you know, AJ is a singles wrestler. Let him have a singles match at WrestleMania. Let him shine in that moment.
Exactly. That's kind of the way that I look at it as well. Plus, you do something between AJ and Owens. I mean, to me, I mean, that's something that's going to be spectacular. I don't know where that would put Jericho. But to me, that would be something that would be a lot of fun that they can do on that stage, you know. And now, you know, I guess maybe they face the New Day. It's funny because you talk about throwing all these guys into different matches, which is something that they typically do on Mania. And I get it. But I don't like necessarily when they do that, because I'd much rather see, you know, just one tag team take on another tag team, or one guy take on another guy. You can have like one triple threat match when it comes to singles guys, but I don't like it when they throw everybody in just to try to get everybody on the card. I know guys work hard the entire year, and part of this is, you know, a celebration of that year and how hard they worked, and, you know, they get to earn that opportunity on WrestleMania and be on that card. But, you know, it's not fair for everybody, and I don't think everybody should be on that show. I don't care how hard you worked and everything. I mean, that's fine, and I get that, and it sucks, but I don't think everybody should be on WrestleMania, unless you want to say, okay, we'll throw you into this, you know, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. But outside of that, you know, I don't like it that everybody makes the main card or gets to be involved in bigger matches.
Yeah, I mean, it's WrestleMania is a privilege, not a right. You know what I mean? Like, that was kind of the point. When you get on WrestleMania, it's supposed to be a big moment. You know what I mean? It's supposed to be a huge occasion. And you know, you better take your time building these matches. Like, one other thing I have an issue with right now that makes no sense to me is why they, you know, we know, everybody knows, or at least you should know, that the match at WrestleMania is going to be Charlotte against Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks is the most over diva I've seen, you know, in the company. But yet they're still trying to throw in Becky Lynch for this other thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, why? Just make the match we know is going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, let's start building it now. Like, I understood why they did the Brie Bella angle, because obviously they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to put on Sasha Banks and Charlotte, you know, at Fastlane. They wanted to save it for WrestleMania. Great. I get that. But now, what is the point? Like, why, you know what I mean? Like, her coming down last night and saying, now you guys are going to wrestle each other. It's like, why not go ahead and start building towards what we know is happening? And what we know is happening is Charlotte and Sasha Banks. Why delay it? Why, you know, why play this thing out for two or three more weeks just waiting for WrestleMania? I don't know. That was one of the things that kind of bothered me about last night's show.
But that's the one match that I think could be a triple threat, and I'd be fine with that. They put Becky in there as well, because it's funny because Charlotte's gotten a lot of the acclaim coming up, and so has Sasha. But Becky has done a great job, and she's gotten great reactions. I think we're going to see all three of them in that match. I think they're going to do something where there's kind of a disputed finish as they have the singles match, and then Charlotte's going to throw a hissy fit when they say, guess what, it's going to be a triple threat.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know, obviously there's different possibilities in there, you know what I mean? But, like, you know, that to me seemed like one of the biggest no-brainers of anything, you know what I mean? I think I tweeted out on Sunday night during Fastlane. I said, I'm going to put money on the house right now that Sasha Banks is going to win the Divas title at WrestleMania. It just seems like it's written in the stars for it to happen. But I agree. Becky has been great, and she's been, you know, really, really good in what she's been doing. She's kind of gotten the spotlight, and, you know, for a person who was, I'm not going to sit here and dog her and say she was never intended to be a champion, but you never really saw that in her. She's kind of run with it. She's done a great job with it, you know, in the storyline that she's had, so good for her. Unfortunately, it's kind of come at the sacrifice of poor Paige, who has completely disappeared off the canvas. And I don't know, I'm not an insider, I don't know all the knowledge, but let me just say I'm a big fan of Paige, and whatever she did, whoever she pissed off, I feel bad for her, because, man, I talk about falling down the ladder. That's one of the divas I kind of feel bad for right now.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, is that, you know, who knows what's going to happen here or there, you know, and we'll figure it all out. Yeah, Paige is super talented. It's just they're in this little bit of a transition period where they said, okay, finally, we're going to try to get more of these other women involved. It kind of botched it, I thought, you know, when they brought up Charlotte and Becky and Sasha. It wasn't like something horrific, but it wasn't done as clean as they expected. And now they're like, okay, we've got them. We can have a really good match. And who knows? Maybe they'll find a way to do a second match on that show. And by the way, so as we're talking, so WWE is playing up the Roman Reigns thing, saying now that he had surgery for a broken nose and he's going to be out. So I think the way that they're going to try to avoid him getting booed is they're just going to take him off TV for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, the broken nose, and here's the thing. Obviously, I know everything with WWE is spin, but the broken nose to me looked a little more legit. It kind of seemed like the John Cena, Seth Rollins thing, because when he was getting slammed down, like when he came up and had blood all over him, I was kind of like, I don't know if that was on purpose.
Well, you didn't see the video that came out then, did you?
No, I did not.
Okay, so some fan was sitting there behind the announcer's table and was shooting video on this. And so Roman gets slammed over and over into the announcer's table. And as Hunter walks away and the announcer or the referees are pulling him away and Roman's just draped there over the table. So on TV, that's what you saw was Triple H. But on this guy's video that he shot on his phone, you can clearly see Byron Saxton hands Roman something. And next thing you know, Roman has got to, he made sure to have his head down and he does something to his face and he puts whatever down. And it looks like it was like a blood packet or a blood capsule or something, because if you notice his hand, his right hand is like super red. And then his nose, obviously, and below his nose, you know, is bloody. So I think as good as the beating looked, it looked like he used a blood packet.
Oh, I thought we were past those days.
No, because you're not allowed to blade in WWE anymore, but you can have some blood every now and then. I mean, what's fake blood?
Oh, I honestly, they got me then, because it looked like he accidentally, because, you know, like the way he was slamming him down and it was so rapid fire, I was thinking like, man, maybe he, because like I said, it was like the Seth Rollins, John Cena thing. Like it was just a complete accident. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I thought it was just one of those moments, but
it doesn't take away from the moment to me. Like, it's like cool if they want to do that every now and then, because I mean, I don't want to have blood and guts all the time, but there's a time and a place for everything. So I was cool that they had some blood here, even if it's fake, because it looked really good.
Yeah, and that's exactly. I'll say that same thing. I have no problem with it the way it played out. They got me because it looked real. Because, you know, like I said, generally coming from the old school of pro wrestling, I'm used to, you know, the cuts coming from the top of the forehead. You know, you don't typically see noses being broken and things like that. So for them to play that up, smart job, because, again, it kind of plays into the whole John Cena thing that, you know, this was an accident. You know, it wasn't supposed to happen. So they got me, but that's funny. I'll have to look at that video because I thought we were a little past that, but apparently not. And boy, they got me there. I like I said, I wasn't necessarily, I knew when I read the news release, I was like, yeah, this has got to be some spin. I was like, maybe not. Who knows? I mean, accidents do happen from time to time. And, and that would be one that I could believe. You know, they're not going to say he has a knee injury or anything like that that would threaten WrestleMania. Obviously, a broken nose isn't going to threaten WrestleMania. But, you know, like I said, it was interesting to read.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I didn't think that was happening either, you know, at first, because I thought, oh, okay, he really got his nose busted up there a bit. But now it looks like this video is out there. It's just weird the way that those things go down, you know. I think they're going to take him off TV, and they can just have Triple H, you know, talk about how he gave the man the beat down, and he's going to do the same thing at Mania. So maybe that's the best way to try to avoid these, you know, the negative reaction towards Reigns is, hey, you know what, why don't you just be off TV for 3 weeks in a row, and then you can come back and you can attack Hunter and with more, you know, vigor than ever before. And you're a madman and you beat him down and everything. And they hope that, you know, at least fans will get into it somehow.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, like I said, I like the idea. You know, I like the idea of, you know, just taking Roman off TV to give him some reprieve from the fans. But I don't know that that's going to help him at all. I think it's ultimately still going to play out the same way. Again, you know, they gave him this vicious beating, and, you know, it was kind of the reverse, because you remember, you know, Roman did that to Triple H that started the whole feud with the Authority, that kind of thing. And then he was off TV for a few weeks. You wonder if maybe they're trying to do the reverse here, and then here, you know, Roman comes storming back and wins the title. But like I said, just in my head, I just, because it's so predictable and it seems so certain that that's what's going to happen, I just get the feeling, I get the itchy feeling that something else is going to happen to keep him from winning that title at WrestleMania. Don't forget, we still got The Rock. You know, The Rock is out there. He's definitely appearing at WrestleMania. Obviously, he's not going to be coming back for any kind of full-time gig. He's filming Baywatch right now, so obviously he's not going to be doing it, and he's got about 18,000 other movies planned, so he's obviously not going to be coming back full time. But, you know, we haven't heard anything from him.
I think I know what he's going to be doing.
What do you think? What's he going to be doing?
Special referee of the main event.
That could be it.
Well, the funny thing is, what exactly is the by terms of what goes on last, what is the main event now? Do you actually go with the title match last, or do you go with Taker against Shane? I still think it's the title match, but I could see a scenario where they do Shane against Taker. I just have a hard time because of what they're going to do with the finish, probably with Shane winning, to seeing that would end WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think they're going to still leave the title match as the main event. I do, and I like the idea about The Rock being the special referee, because maybe that's, you know, maybe that's the moment. You know, like I said, maybe they try to get, you know, maybe they try to get Roman over that. I mean, they tried that before at Royal Rumble by getting The Rock to help put Roman over, and it still didn't work. Maybe that's the key. Maybe you put him in there and then have some kind of funky ending where, you know, The Rock turns on Roman or something. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, whatever it is, it can't just be a straight finish for Roman Reigns, or people are just going to lose it because no one is on board with that.
Do you believe any of the social media chatter? And I think it's nothing more than chatter, that Hulk Hogan could be back on the show.
I think it's chatter, but I will say, you know, and maybe I'm playing too much into us, but I have seen some of the highlights, you know, that they showed. Like, they opened a WrestleMania highlight. I can't remember where I saw it. Maybe it was just on WWE Network or something, but I saw Hulk Hogan in there, and, you know, he had kind of been banished, you know, like his image even was just kind of like out, you know, you don't see it. I don't know. I don't buy it. I mean, the people are playing conspiracy theorists because CM Punk, you know, his name popped back up on WWE.com, and people are, you know, thinking that somehow he's back involved for WrestleMania, which I don't buy either. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, will there be a surprise or two or something that we don't see coming? Absolutely. I mean, the Shane McMahon thing was pretty big, but I absolutely think we'll see something else big. But I don't know if it's going to be Hulk Hogan. I don't know. Maybe that's what they try to pull off, but I don't know. I'm still very suspicious.
Me too. And I want to know where they're going to fit in Austin, because they want Steve on the show, but he's always said, I'm not going to be on that show unless there's a good reason, there's a good storyline, or there's something that I can really be involved in, you know, that excites me. I mean, I interviewed him a few months ago and I pitched him, like, why don't you guys do like 100,000 people in a beer bash? And he thought, well, it's a better idea than what I've heard so far. And that was months ago. He kind of liked that, but I mean, I don't know if you could do 100,000 people, considering that probably a third of them are going to be not the drinking age yet. But, you know, I have no idea what they could do for Austin. And I don't know if he's going to show up and just do an opening segment like he did a few years ago with New Orleans, where it was him and Hogan and The Rock doing that segment to kick off the show. And he wasn't even too thrilled about that afterwards because he felt like they duped him a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like I said, that's, you know, I'm hoping that they come up with something interesting for everybody. I mean, getting, you know, getting The Rock involved, getting, you know, Steve involved, you know, whatever they're going to do, as long as it's interesting and it's fun, I'm all for it. But like I said, I really do think that they learned their lesson a little bit, you know, with some of the bad WrestleManias and some of the bad Royal Rumbles in the last couple of years, that you gotta keep people guessing. You gotta keep people enjoying these events if they're going to continue to tune in and pay their money every month to stay subscribers to the network. And you know, again, I don't keep harping on how great last year's WrestleMania was, but that was kind of the point. It was a fun WrestleMania. It had a lot of surprises. Yes, there were some things we saw coming, and of course they happened, but we also had a lot of other things that we didn't see coming and had a lot of fun with it. And I think, just in my own head, maybe I'm just being, you know, cautiously optimistic, but I feel like there's going to be some duplication of that this year, whether that means Austin has a run-in, whether that means The Rock, you know, turns on somebody or does something more than playing special referee. I don't know, but I feel like there's going to be at least a couple of things we don't see coming, or at least I hope we get a couple of things we don't see coming.
I loved last year's WrestleMania, and if I can get Rusev coming out on a tank again, I will be overjoyed.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's, you know, as long as it's an enjoyable watch, I'm on board. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, so last thing. So what was your hype? What was your excitement level a week ago for WrestleMania, and where's it at now?
I would say my excitement level a week ago was pretty much, you know, I wouldn't say non-existent by any means. I would say it was normal, you know, like, yeah, it's WrestleMania. Of course, I'm going to tune in and watch. You know, I'm a big, big fan of Sasha Banks. She's one of my favorites. I was looking forward to her match with Charlotte. That was going to be a fun one. You know, obviously, I think they're going to book Kevin Owens in something fun. You know, I'm kind of hoping that they actually book the Dudley Boys in something fun, considering they're kind of turning back into a little bit of the old school Dudleys, things like that. But, you know, I wasn't ultra excited. The main event really left me, you know, didn't want much of anything. But Shane O'Mac coming back, Hell in the Cell, The Undertaker, didn't see that coming from a mile away. I would say I'm you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say I'm up to about a 7 now. Now I'm not quite to a 10 because we still got to see what other matches are going to add in there. But you know, it's a lot higher than it was a week ago.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm probably about 7, maybe 7.5, somewhere around there. And I'm going to the show, but yeah, I wasn't like down in the dumps about it. I thought I was still going to find a way to be a good show, but I just didn't know where, how they were going to get there. So I wasn't like pumped for it. And now I'm getting to that level. It definitely went up a few notches watching Raw on Monday night. So
yeah,
I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. I know that you're super busy. By the way, everybody can keep up with Damon's work by going over to foxsports.com. You can follow him on Twitter. It's at Damon Martin. And if you really want to get more of him, you can check out his other website, which is nerdcoremovement.com. And you can keep up on TV and social and all the other fun stuff that's going on, movies and anything that has to do with nerds on there, you know, that kind of culture. It's all right there on the website. You can't miss it. So I don't even know how you found time to do this podcast, quite honestly.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and I'd love to do it again. I love talking pro wrestling, and it's rare that I get to do it. So anytime you want to have me, it'd be my pleasure to do it.
Absolutely. We'll do it again. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Reminder to everybody listening out there, if you haven't already subscribed to the Between the Ropes podcast, do it on iTunes or on Stitcher. That way, as soon as the podcast is done, as soon as it's been pushed out, you will get it. It will automatically appear, and you can listen to it immediately. You can also find all of the audio by going to BetweenTheRopes.com, and you can check out SoundCloud as well, which hosts all of the audio. Go to SoundCloud.com/BetweenTheRopes, and when you do subscribe, which is the best way to do it, on iTunes and on Stitcher, please rate and review the podcast. That helps out tremendously. A couple of more podcasts coming up later on this week, both of them talking about the big Ring of Honor anniversary show that's coming up on Friday night. We'll have Adam Cole coming up on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, Christopher Daniels is going to be part of the podcast. So look forward to those two podcasts coming up here later on in the week. Talk to you then.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.